Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show, as well as your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. As always, please everyone keep in touch with Shad and I through email. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Shad's is shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from all of you, and especially when you send us different companies that you are interested in, we do reach out to those companies and eventually bring them on the show, timing it around some news events. That being said, we are going to feature a couple companies on this weekend show because we have seen some positive moves on the back of some good news. Those are going to come in subsequent segments as we are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion's Share website, which I will post a link to. Dana, let's start off with U.S. markets. Again, the markets are fairly weak, I think we can say. They're down for this month of April. Even through this shortened trading week, we did have, I think, all the main indices negative for this week. Now, again, this isn't a free fall environment that we're seeing for markets, but a noticeable shift from last year, simply because we're negative on the year, and last year the markets just kept moving higher. You've been mentioning that you have been a bit more defensive. Your internal models have shown that there have been some opportunities, but broadly still a more defensive strategy has been needed. Any changes to that here, Dana?
No definitive changes yet. You know, we've been pretty bearish on the market, the broad market, for most of the year or all of the year. We did hit those lows in January, tested in February, even tested in March. Some areas made slightly lower lows in March. Did get, like we've spoken about in the past, some adequate, I should say, sentiment and internal washout type readings that were potentially sufficient for a longer term, maybe an intermediate term bottom. Whether or not that proves to be the case, we're still waiting. If it is the case, you know, we could have several more months of a rally here. If it's not the case, then we could fail here shortly and then go revisit the lows again and very likely put in a lower low. But there was enough evidence for us to consider a decent bottom in place. Our risk model that we use, which incorporates a lot of breadth and internal measures, came close to turning bullish for the first time in a long time, a couple weeks ago, but didn't quite get there. And indeed, indices ran into some key resistance and shoved them right back down. So the bears stepped up, prevented a more of a definitive all clear signal. And now we're testing some key support areas, and it's the bulls' turn to step up and prevent, you know, some greater damage from occurring right now. And so far they've done their job, but the jury is still out on whether they can hold serve here. So all in all, you know, basically a trading environment still trying to figure out whether a longer term bottom is in place or whether it's, you know, a bear market bounce and we head back down to the lows. But like you mentioned, there are areas that are doing better than others. So we're focused on, you know, staying long the stuff that's going up and shorting the stuff that seems to be still going down.
That's a good strategy, Dana. And it's a two-way market for sure, as we've been discussing. And so it's not just a rising tide lifting all boats like it has been the last couple of years. You got to be more selective on your sector. What sectors do you think still have that potential to bounce off that support and maybe finally break up and start heading in the higher direction that you'd be more long on? And then which sectors do you still feel are going to remain under pressure that you're going to remain more short on?
Yeah, so the sectors that have been doing well, those areas that held up the best, that are hitting new highs, those are the areas you still want to focus your long portfolio on. Stuff like utilities and staples, and healthcare is doing well again. Other areas that we've been in include, you know, the agriculture type names. MOO would be the ticker symbol on the ETF, continues to move to new highs. So those more defensive areas have been doing well. The stuff that has not been doing well that we'd still be selling and shorting into rallies is the growth area, the NASDAQ, the technology type stuff that continues to struggle here, continues to stick closer to the lower end of the range than the upper range. Upper end continues to hit lower highs. So we'd continue selling or shorting those areas into bounces. And also Europe, we continue to remain short Europe and continue to add to that short into bounces to resistance. So that's kind of the two-way strategy that we're employing right now. You know, we've got a fairly low net long exposure right now, but we've got a fair amount of positions on. It's just a fair amount of longs together with the shorts, and as well as a lot of positions in non-equity areas that are continue to provide opportunity.
Dana, let's also talk commodities too, because it really has been the standout sector where commodities broadly have done pretty well, and even after breakouts have largely been holding those gains. Now, there have been some outsized breakouts like in the nickel market that got a little crazy, and even oil that is off of its highs. Either way, though, you look across the commodity sector, we are seeing higher prices. Drive down into some of the stocks, we're not necessarily seeing the stocks outperform. So what are you seeing in the commodity sector, and do you like any individual commodities?
Yeah, we still like most of the individual commodities. You know, we've been long for a while, and what we've seen is, you know, we saw pretty much a spike during the early months of the year and into the spring. Got a spike, sort of a blow-off type of a top, but we haven't seen any breakdown since then. So what we've seen either is a nice consolidation, digestion of that spike that we saw, which looks like more or less like a continuation pattern should continue to the upside once the consolidation is over, or we see commodities that are back hitting new highs again. So you look at the grains, something like corn, we've been long, still long, hitting new highs. Wheat, still long there. You go to the energy market, oil, we are long. It's kind of in a consolidation pattern right now. We're trading it within the range, though. Nat gas, we remain long. That one continues to move to new, you know, multi-year highs. It continues to look good. And then you swing to the metals. Gold and silver have been consolidating more or less. As you know, we think they eventually break to the upside and put in a new up leg in the bull market. For now, it's kind of consolidating. So I don't know when it's going to that next big move is going to start, but it's been showing more or less constructive action lately. But for the most part, commodities are well positioned, either hitting higher highs or consolidating recent gains that should result in even higher highs, at least according to our work.
Yeah, Dana, the commodity space has been pretty solid all year long, and it's continued to outperform a lot of the other sectors. A lot of them are commodity specific, but there's some pretty crazy runs. Some of those individual commodities go on, from the agricultural products to base metals. You brought up precious metals, though, and a lot of our audience also follows the mining stocks. So in particular, you know, the ETFs that would track the gold or silver stocks. Do you have any thoughts on the gold miners?
Yeah, they've been tracking for the most part gold and silver. You know, they had the nice rally to that 2020 top, been consolidating ever since, kind of storing up fuel for the next big up leg, we think. So in the meantime, they've been more or less in a trading range, but making some technical progress just in the last few days, we think. So something like GDX, we've been long, broke decisively above that 40 level just the other day. We think that might be technically significant. That was around the 61 retracement from that 2020 top. So finally able to break that. That if we can hold that 40, should open up further upside up towards that 46 level, which was that 2020 top. Also, you look at something like the junior silver miners, SILJ. We've been long. That is also making some nice technical strides over the last few days. Broke above that 1480 level, opens up upside in the immediate term to about 1580. Still has some work to do before it gets up to, before it can make a run at those 2020 highs, but making progress of late, which is like, which is what we want to see after a big rally that we saw into that 2020 high. We don't want to see an immediate collapse, and we haven't seen that. We've seen some nice digestion, healthy consolidation, storing up fuel, getting itself ready to make a more sustainable run at new highs and beyond. So that's our base case, and we are long the miners, long gold, long silver right now.
Okay, very interesting, Dana. One quick question, because you very much are a generalist investor, right? What do you think it'll take to get more of the generalist investors into the precious metal stocks? It's one thing that we talk about a lot is that precious metal stocks still seem to be generally unloved, even as especially the majors have developed this uptrend.
Well, that's the easy one. Higher prices.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. What do investors always chase? Higher prices, you know. That's why it's been the same story since the beginning of financial markets. Investors sell the most at the bottoms and buy the most at the top. So once you see more of a rally get going in earnest, you'll see more dollars flow into there, especially if we see some other sectors kind of fall by the wayside and you see less of competition from some of those sectors and more of an outperformance perhaps in the precious metals complex and then in the miners in particular, you'll see more dollars flow into that. But it's going to take higher prices for sure to attract more dollars, at least from the, as you call them, generalist investors. So that's an easy question. That's what it's always going to take. That's what it'll take this time. So once we see the miners and gold and silver start rallying more substantially, you're going to see more and more money come in and start to perpetuate that rally. And once you see, a bubble or froth form in that market, then you know it's time to maybe pull back your horns. But obviously a long way from that. But once we see some higher prices and the rally start gathering steam, you should see some more money flow in.
Yeah, Dana, you nailed it there. People claim they like to buy low and sell high, but it's really just the opposite. They like to, we always say cry low, and then they like to buy high when it's in momentum. So I'm sure that we'll see that same kind of pile-on effect again, and then that's usually when you want to get out of the trade. But you mentioned the dollar a couple times in that. Do you have any thoughts on the U.S. dollar or are any other currencies that have your eye right now that you think would be good for a trade or maybe the tie into the international ETF?
Yeah, you know, we are long the dollar. We think it's also constructively positioned, which is maybe interesting that the dollar is rallying along with precious metals and commodities in general. But it is what it is. So we are long the dollar. Got some struggling with maybe some temporary resistance around $100 even on the dollar index. If we get through here, then we're probably testing those 2020 highs around 103. But we're long the dollar for now. We're not short any currencies. We would likely be shorting rallies in most of the currencies, to be honest with you, especially the euro and the yen, which is at, you know, multi-year lows. So it's not no coincidence that when the dollar looks strong, those other currencies look weak. But right now we are strong. We're long the dollar, still constructively positioned. I would say if you're going to, pertaining to the second part of your question, equity-wise, if you're going to be buying any international ETFs because of those weak currencies, I would focus on like the currency hedged version of those markets. Europe, we don't like in any currency, so we'd avoid that. But something like Japan, DXJ is the ticker symbol for the currency hedged, the yen hedged equity index, which we are long, or equity ETF, we are long. That's coming off of testing all-time highs just last week, I believe. So that's one equity fund on a currency hedge basis that looks constructive. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the yen's been so weak, but does look good to us. So again, if you're going to be buying anything international, I would certainly focus on anything currency hedged at this point.
Final market then, Dana, being the bond market. We have seen yields really just skyrocket since the beginning of March, and they were already uptrending since the COVID washout, market washout. But that skyrocket just in the last about 5 to 6 weeks, that is noteworthy. I know a lot of people are saying, well, rates just can't go that much higher because of the debt and all these other reasons. What's your outlook for the bond market and general rates, yields?
Yeah, we think rates go up for many years or decades to come, you know, based on the very long-term cycle that we think bottomed in 2020. So if that's the case, you know, it could be many decades to come where rates generally go higher. They won't go in a straight line. But generally, you'll see higher highs and higher lows. So we are still short bonds, the 10 and 30-year. Specifically, we've covered a lot of our shorts, left on more or less a runner position, small position in case we continue to spike up, which we're doing. We do have some resistance, I think, on the 10-year at around 280, 290, and then better resistance up near that 340 level. If you're looking at the 30-year, also short that one right now. We've got some resistance up around 290, the 3%. If we do continue to rally, I don't see any reason why I can't rally up towards that 360, 365 level. But like I said, won't be a straight line. So it's like nothing's a buy and hold in our view ever. Nothing's a short and hold. So you got to take some profits when you get these windfall type of moves, leave a small position on. But then when you get a pullback back up in rates, add that short exposure back on. So that's more or less what we're doing right now.
All right, Dana, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on these markets. Always interesting to hear what you are trading, especially now that, in all fairness, very different trade from last year in terms of the sectors that you are in. We're going to keep following up with you every 2 weeks because these markets, you do need to stay on top of them, and you never know when you are going to get a change in trend, especially considering this year the trend has been just so different than the prior year. Dana, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat in 2 weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your Easter long weekend.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.